Amen. That's good singing. God will take care of you and me. Sometimes I feel like quoting a character in the New Testament, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles back to the book of Philippians chapter 4. And as we do, I want to welcome our visitors this morning visiting with us. Some are coming back for maybe the second or third time. And if you're a first-time visitor, we're certainly glad to have you with us today. Didn't the children do a great job this morning singing? Oh, I tell you, if you're used to coming in late to church, you missed the best part already. See, we do that every once in a while just to shake you up. If you come in the second song, you missed the children sing this morning. So come a little bit early, amen? All right. Philippians, and by the way, Danielle, great job. It looks to me like pretty soon that you're going to have to give up your duties for a while. You remind me of my daughter. She is due any day now. Any day now. Every time the phone rings, I'm thinking, Grandpa's got to answer this phone. But she's hanging in there. You know what she did yesterday? She has already started dilating. She was out doing yard work yesterday. And the reasoning was that it might help the labor come faster. But you know, they come when they want to. Amen? Those are things we have no control over when we come to this world and when we leave this world, that's for sure. Philippians chapter 4, we read verses 1 through 9. The Apostle Paul had organized many churches. He was a missionary evangelist, this very special calling of God, wrote a lot of the New Testament by divine inspiration of God, and he had a great sense of purpose because of the job that God had ordained for him to do. He was unmovable in his faith, and he blesses us when we read his writings, that's for sure. I'm sure that there were some churches that disappointed him as we read through some of the letters in the New Testament, but there were some churches that pleased him and gave him great joy. It seems that this one at Philippi was one of his favorite churches. He said that this church was his crown and his joy. Amen. Notice verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, he calls them dearly beloved once in verse 1, and long for, he missed them, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my what? He really loved these people, didn't he? They made him happy. They were his crown and his joy. You know, we have some people like the Philippian Christians who are a crown and a joy to the church and the pastor. You know, there are our church or any church could not get along without some people in it. A church cannot go on in existence if there are not certain people that make up the congregation. Amen. You say, well, who are they? I want to mention to you, without mentioning names, some folks that our church could not do without. We couldn't go on if we didn't have some folks like I'm going to talk about this morning. Well, you say, Pastor, who is it that's indispensable to the church? Number one, people that are faithful. We've got to have faithfulness on the part of God's people. You know, the Bible does not commend for greatness, thank goodness. I'm glad God doesn't say, you all have to be great. Because if that were true, we'd never make it, would we? Can't all be great. But the Bible does commend for faithfulness. All we need some folks that are faithful in their praying. Amen? What would a church be like if nobody prayed? There'd be no power. There'd be no liberty. There'd be no answers to prayer. I'm glad that when your strength is all gone and your hair is all gray, if you're lucky enough to have it, that you can still pray. Amen? God has devised a way so we can still stay close to Him, even when we can't do the things that we want to do. We need folks that are faithful not only in their praying, but you say, what is faithfulness, Pastor? We know that faithfulness is a characteristic of God. Aren't you glad He's faithful? I want to read to you just some verses, just a few, on how God is faithful to us. In 1 Thessalonians, don't turn there, I want you to listen, all right? We had the sword drill already this morning. 1 Thessalonians, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God called you into his kingdom, amen? And he's faithful to do everything that's necessary in your life. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Aren't you glad the Lord is faithful? He is faithful to do that for his children, to establish you. That means to cause you to be grounded and rooted in God's love and in God's word so that you will be unshakable and that he will deliver us from evil. Keep us from evil so that evil won't overtake us. Thank God he's faithful for doing that. And then, of course, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All of it, even the ones we forget about, amen? If we'll confess the ones we remember, he'll cleanse us of all the ones that we've even forgotten, amen? Psalm 119, thy faithfulness is unto all generations, amen? Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Thank God he is faithful to all generations. I'm glad he's faithful to this generation just as much as he was to the generation of Abraham. I'm glad he's faithful to our generation. Aren't you glad that God didn't just decide to leave out one generation? Say, well, I've been faithful for thousands of years, and those folks in the year 2006, I guess they're just going to have to make it on their own. God didn't say that, did he? His faithfulness is to all generations, and that includes ours. And then, of course, as his children, as we follow him, we find that faithfulness is something that we can offer God as well. You know, a lot of times children are a lot like their parents. Amen? Little Johnny got a note home from school one day, and the teacher said, little Johnny said some bad words and listed them. Father said, where the blankety blank did he learn those words from? Can't imagine. Johnny, come here. Oh, listen, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree usually, amen? But you know, the Bible talks about our being faithful also. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God wants us to be faithful. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul was faithful, and God put him into the ministry. And then just a couple more verses. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil has cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, talking about this tribulation period coming ahead of us, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. And chapter 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he shall judge and make war. The Lord Jesus Christ, one of his many, many names, he is called faithful, and he is called true. Oh, our church could not go on without some more faithful people. Faithful in praying, faithful in giving, faithful in their living, faithful in serving. Amen. Faithfulness. I know pastors that are embarrassed to have a revival meeting in New Jersey for fear that nobody will show up, even of their congregation. Amen. And you know, I've always found out that those that do show up get blessed. Amen. I preach to the folks that are here, not to the ones that aren't here. Amen? And I thank God for people who are faithful to church. I thank God that we have some people in our church that are faithful. They're faithful in coming. They're faithful in their living. They're faithful in their giving. They give of themselves. They give of their time and their talents. And isn't it the faithfulness of God that makes us admire God the most? Think about it. We admire God because he is faithful. He's faithful to take care of us. He's faithful to forgive us. He's a faithful, loving Father. And that's why we admire Him. And He wants us to be faithful to Him too. In some ways, faithfulness is a way that we can repay God. Are we faithful to the Lord's church? On Wednesday night, do your neighbors know that it's church night? Amen. I used to have neighbors that they used to know it was Wednesday night because we'd go to church. They could set their clock. They'd see us pulling out of the driveway. Oh, it must be Wednesday night. There they go. There they go. Oh, a church couldn't operate without some folks that were faithful. Faithfulness. We need some more folks that are faithful. You say, well, what other kind of people can a church not do without? What kind of folks does a church absolutely have for it to go on? Faithfulness, faithful people. Number two, willing people. Being willing. Amen. Don't you admire that in your children when they're willing to do what you say? Clean your room, John. All right, Dad. Doesn't usually come out that way, right? Usually, clean your room, John. John? Whoa, John. Where did John go? That used to be the great battle in our house, to keep the house clean. But thank God my boys married ladies that were neat. God knows they needed it. But I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. But we need folks that are willing to do church work. Some people are willing to do church work. Others are willing for them to do it. Amen. Not too many laughs there, but that's all right. It's easy for some to meet for other club meetings. Little League called, got a meeting Friday. Do or die, we're there. Amen. Oh, the motorcycle club. Got to have that meeting. All right, be there. All right, yeah. Pastor's calling a meeting. Oh, wow. Can't he get it done on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning? Why is it the church usually ends up at the bottom of the list? We get too busy for other things. It's easy to talk about what we're going to do in the future. What are we going to do in the present? Amen. Oh, listen, we need some folks, some more folks that are willing. I thank God we got folks in our church that are willing. They are willing. Thank God. You say, yeah, I thank God they're willing. I thank God they're willing. We need some more folks that are willing. God's speaking to your heart. I hope He's speaking to some hearts this morning. What other folks does the church need that's indispensable? A church has got to have. Well, a church has got to have some folks that have a vision. Is that a vision? Yeah. A vision of needs of people. A vision of needs of a world. A world that's lost. A world where many places the gospel is not preached. And yet there are people willing to go to those places and depend on us for their prayers and their financial support. Yeah, we need folks that have a vision. Have a vision, folks that are willing. You know, our church is kind of unique in some ways. We're not like a lot of other churches. We want you to participate. We try to get you involved in the ministry. Try to find something you enjoy doing and let you do it, whether it be going to nursing homes, going out on visitation, going in a bus ministry, staying in touch with our missionaries, helping out in some way. And sometimes we just invent ministries to get you involved instead of just being a spectator. You know, I grew up in a church where everyone was a spectator. We were just one in the crowd, one of the bananas in the bunch, you know. And we'd come to church and we would watch and observe and then go home. But, you know, that's not what a local New Testament church is supposed to be like. The Bible says that we are all in the ministry. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. I love these verses, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Find it? How many of you found it? Let me see. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Find it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Not everyone can be an evangelist. They have great faith. They live by faith. Their budget is made up by faith. No source of income. Just the promise that somebody's going to call them on the phone or email them and say, come out for a week. We'll take care of you. Great faith. Not everybody can be an evangelist. Not everyone's supposed to be. Amen? He gave some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did God give these things to the church? The answer is verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Well, that's a good verse for any parent. Two things there, very important. Speaking the truth. Always tell the truth to our children, but do it in the right way. Do it with love. Sometimes we have to take a walk before we speak the truth. Amen? Cool off. Cool off a little bit. Don't lose your temper, but speak the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But verse 12 is the verse I want to call your attention to. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, God has given the pastors and evangelists and the teachers, they have a special gift that they use that you need. Why? Because it will build you up and edify you so that you also can enter the ministry. And all together, all the members of the church are in the ministry. Most of us grew up with the idea that the pastor is the one in the ministry. That's not true. Everyone, read it. Is that not what it said? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. All of us are in the ministry. And pastors and teachers and evangelists are to build you up so that you may help them and enter with them in the work of the ministry. All together, working together. Isn't that great? That's great. It's not just the pastor who does the ministry. It's every one of us who are in the ministry. We all have a job to do. We're all members of the body. Every member is important. Just like in a human body, you need every member. And you know it when one is hurting. You hit your thumb with a hammer, a message goes right to the brain. Ouch. And you have to think about it. All the members of God's family are important. And God's church are important. Well, we need folks that are willing. We need folks with a vision. We need folks, it's absolutely indispensable. We've got to have folks that are optimistic. Optimism is something that rubs off on others, that's for sure. In Numbers chapter 13, I want you to turn there, please. Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. The spies had just come back from spying the promised land. God already promised them that they were going to take the promised land. God had already promised it to them, but they wanted to go out and spy the land and to just see what it was like. And they come back with a report. They come back discouraged in spite of the promise of God. And how much like them are we with our old nature? We doubt God a lot, don't we? Notice Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And then when they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. You are right. It has great blessing. But notice verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites. And boy, they are really looking at their problems, aren't they? They're focused on their problems. They forgot about God. They forgot about God's promise to give them that land. And now they're just, boy, these Moses ought to charge them a psychiatry fee. He's really listening to them pour it out. Listen to this. And the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And thank God for Caleb. What an optimistic guy he is. What a man of faith. And Moses stilled the people before Moses and said, he was one of the 12 that went out. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What's the difference between Caleb and the others? Caleb remembered the promise of God, that he promised to give them that land, and that was the difference. Verse 31, but the men went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against the people. You know, the majority is not always right sometimes, amen? 10 said we can't do it, 2 said we could. We're not able to go against the people. They are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. You see God in heaven looking down on them. Boy, they surely get their eyes off of me. I'm bigger than those giants. Verse chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. 10 spies discouraged all of Israel. And notice verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let's return to Egypt. That's real discouragement, isn't it? Here they are on the brink of history. They're on the brink of going into the promised land and taking it. And they got their eyes off God. And they got their eyes on the problems. And they're looking at the obstacles. They see the walled cities. They see the giants. They see their enemies. And in their sight, they feel like grasshoppers. And now they're saying, let's have a meeting and let's call a leader and let's go back to Egypt. Maybe they'll take us back. We can be slaves again. Oh, I've known a lot of Christians that have gone back to their old life because they got discouraged. They got their eyes off God and says, I just can't overcome these problems. I was better off before I became a Christian. Out of their own lips, they would say words like that. They quit going to church. They quit reading their Bible. But you know what? Long before they drop out of church, they stop reading their Bible and they stop praying. And then the next step was not to see other Christian people at all. And it's a gradual process. And then they quit on God. They go back to their old life. But you know what? You'll never be happy going back to your old life, because you got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You'd be worse, more miserable than ever. Amen. Well, they wanted to go back, and they wanted a leader to take them back. And notice verse 5, chapter 14, that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is parted from them, And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He's still exercising faith in front of a million complaining, grumbling, miserable people. At his own demise, almost, I might say, by the way. Notice verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? God intervened right there. He intervened. And Moses also intervened for Israel and said, don't wipe them out. You've got a plan for them. Here we have a great day in history, but optimism. The optimism of Caleb is unbelievable. He would stand up in front of all of those people and say, God will give us the land. God will help us. We need folks that are optimistic. Amen. I don't mean being blind to problems, but I do mean being people of faith, people that trust God, people that believe in God. Oh, Israel, they were all full of doubt. They were beyond pessimism. They were beyond doom and gloom. Here they were promised victory in the new land, and they only saw the problems. A lot of times we're like that when we get our eyes off the Lord. We get complaining. Amen, Pastor. I complain. I confess in my heart this morning that I do complain. Sometimes we complain even on the way to church. Amen. Let's be honest. Isn't that what our nature is about? Amen. Thank God for the new nature, though, because it's new to us. Walking with God is new to us. Thank God God is patient with us. But the church needs folks that are optimistic. I'm glad I've got some people here that are optimistic. I know they have problems, too. You know, everyone has their own share of problems and burdens. You may think that yours are unique, but they're not. You know it's possible to still be happy and still have burdens and problems? God can cause you to have joy. And it is a decision. It's a matter of making a decision to be happy. Everyone has problems. You know, as a kid, a lot of times kids say, gee, I wish I was like somebody, so-and-so. They never have a problem. What they don't realize is that everybody has problems. And probably the person they admire is saying the same thing about them. Yes, we all have our share of problems, that's for sure. Life has its problems and its heartaches, its mountaintops and its valleys. But we need folks that are optimistic. We need folks that are energetic. Amen. Use it while you got it. I wish I still had some of it. But I used a lot of it during my 20s and 30s for the Lord. And I'm still going by the grace of God. Amen. I can't believe the person in the mirror sometimes is so old. I said, where did he come from? But we need folks that have energy, folks that are willing to pitch in, roll up their sleeves. The church has received a command and a commission, and we need industrious people to help carry it out. Think about it. Take the gospel into all the world. What a job. What a chore. We need folks with energy. We need folks with vision. We need folks that are boosters. If you like your church, tell others about it. Bring somebody with you. Lastly, we need folks that are generous. I'm glad we've got some folks in our church that are generous. I don't look at what people give. I really don't. I've made that a point in my life right from the beginning. I don't get involved with the money. I get close to it enough where I can know what's coming in, know what's going out, but I don't look any further than that. I don't want it to influence me. I want to preach the same to everybody, whether you give a buck a week or a ton a week. Amen? I don't want to show any favoritism because we all have the same needs. But we need folks that are generous. I know one thing, stingy people never built the church or did any good in this world. Amen? God loves a cheerful giver. And we're never more like God than when we're giving. Because he is the great giver of them all. every day he gives to us life. Amen. Say, Pastor, I got nothing to be thankful for. Did you wake up this morning? There's worse things. Yes. Generosity. Being hospitable. We need folks that are hospitable, willing to open their home up to other brothers and sisters, give them a meal, share some fellowship. I'm glad we got some folks like that here, where you can go and visit with them and you really feel at home. I mean, really feel at home. When someone says, make yourself at home, they really mean it. I've been to a house once where they said, make yourself at home. I began to, and then I realized they didn't really mean it. I'll never forget eating dinner at someone's house in Buffalo for the very first time. Actually, it was the first family that had us over. And they said, here, help yourself. And when I went to help myself, they looked at me like, you're taking food from our children. But they had an illness. They had an illness, and they worried about everything. This person actually would take food and freeze it, not eat it, and save all the food they could get. This person actually died of starvation with a refrigerator and icebox full of food. How sad is that? And yet a professing Christian, but worried so much that they would go without. Well, they missed what life is all about, isn't it? Amen? God gave us this life to enjoy it. That's a true story. When I got the news, I could hardly believe it, but it really happened. Yes? I'm glad we got some folks in our church that are faithful. A pastor could not stay long in a church if he didn't have some folks that were faithful. We need some more. I'm glad we got some folks in our church that are willing. Amen. There's some folks in this church I can call them up without a hesitation. Say, could you? It's already done. But we need some more. I'm glad we got some folks in our church with a vision who want to go forward. But we need some more folks to ask God for a vision. We got some optimistic people. We need a few more. Amen. I'm glad amen is a universal language. Even in Korean can understand it. We need some folks that are energetic because us older folks can't get done as much as we used to. But I'm glad that God still has a plan when we get old. I'd like to close with this. When my get up is gone, how do I know my youth is all spent? Well, my get up and go has got up and went. I really don't mind. I can say it and grin when I think of the places my get up has been. When I was young, my slippers were blue. I could go all day long and half the night too. Now I'm old and my shoes are plain black. That's scary. I shuffle to the store and puff all the way back. Old age is golden, so it has been said. But sometimes I wonder when going to bed. With my ears in the drawer and my teeth in the cup, and my eyes on the dresser until I get up, before going to sleep, I say to myself, is there anything more I should lay on the shelf? I wake in the morning and dust off my wits, glance through the paper and read the obits. That's scary too. I know I ain't dead if my name isn't there, so it's breakfast for me and then back to my chair. And that's how I know I ain't young anymore. The things that were easy are now a big chore. Oh, I still get to church, and my Bible I read, and I still find my chances to do a good deed. But one thing I'm glad of, on heaven's bright shore, there ain't nobody going to get up anymore. Amen. Get old anymore. Sorry, get old anymore. Oh, listen, I think we got a great church here. I really do. Got some great people. Everybody that visits here says there's something special here in Garfield. We got some faithful people. We got some willing people. We got folks with a vision. We got folks that are optimistic. We got folks with energy, thank goodness. Even folks without energy are really trying hard. Amen. I don't want to start naming names because I'll leave somebody out. We got folks that are boosters, and we got folks that are generous. But Lord, give us a few more. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Spirit of God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your eternal word that's forever settled in heaven. Lord, in it we've spoken about the ministry and that you have given the church the gifts of evangelists and pastors and teachers to edify the saints for the work of the ministry. And what a great work you've given to us, Lord. You told us to give the gospel to every creature. Help all of us, Father, to find our place and help us to stay in our place and to do the things that would be pleasing to you. God, give us some more folks that are faithful, some more folks that are willing, some more folks with youth and energy, some more folks with vision. And Lord, we want to thank you for what we have. But Lord, it's a great task and we need more. May your will be done in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.